This is Gloria Minot Presents.
Before his brother Frank wrote Angela's Ashes, Malachi was the famous McCourt. While Frank struggled in obscurity as a New York City public school teacher, Malachi was a bon vivant actor, talk show host, bar owner, raconteur, gold smuggler, candidate for governor, and regular on The Tonight Show. His latest book, Death Need Not Be Final, is what we're talking about this morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Gloria.
How are you?
Any day above ground is a good one, and if I were any better, God would be out of a job. I'm in good form. By the way, the title is Death Need Not Be Fatal.
Your publicist, it need not be fatal. All right, let me change that. Okay.
Yes.
There you go. And
we all
have thought that it is a fatal state. But
yes,
you happen to think otherwise. What went into the thinking in bringing about the title?
Well, it's I'm of Irish extraction. I was born in Brooklyn, but raised in Ireland due to a set of circumstances that were somewhat fatal. But in Ireland, we have a different attitude toward death than in the United States. People here are extremely serious about death, so much so that they totally and absolutely avoid ever saying the word death. People do not die here. They pass away. They leave us. No longer with us, with the Lord. They are in heaven. She's with her husband in heaven now, as if she didn't have enough trouble with the old bastard here on earth. And they talk about we are in a pine condo. We have bought the farm, kicked the bucket, but everything except the word death. So in Ireland, then, when you get to my age, which is 85, or as the kids might say, 85 and a half. They always put a half on there for some reason.
Okay.
In Ireland, they call it that you're in the departure lounge, you see, when you get to be my age. So I was going to call it Tales from the Departure Lounge, but the publisher thought that perhaps it might be, people might think it's about airline travel, which is close to death anyway. But anyway, we changed the title to Death Need Not Be Fatal. And so the idea of death being, as you said, there being final, in my opinion, it is not. We're around somewhere, I think, in a kind of a spirit. I am an atheist, thank God. But we are and I don't believe, I have no hope of heaven, and I have no fear of hell. But I think we're part of a huge kind of pizza pie floating around in the atmosphere. And we're around long before we live. I think this, we are somewhere. And long after we die, we're somewhere. So life is they're always thinking about that death is an interruption of life. It's not. Life is an interruption of death, because we're dead far longer than we are alive. So people have got to get it straight. And also there's so much fear of death, and it is simply because organized religion, which has all the elements of organized crime, they're always punishing you, and so organized crime only shoots you in the leg or something, whereas organized religion puts you into some place where you burn for eternity. So anyway, it's all very people are very confused. So to me, anyway, it's very simple, Gloria.
Oh.
You just simply you lie down and you close your eyes and you go to sleep and good night, and you hope your mommy will be around to sing you a little lullaby. Would that be nice?
That would be nice.
Yes.
Your brother Frank McCourt was the Pulitzer Prize winning writer. We all learned a lot about him when he wrote Angela's Ashes.
Yes.
Were you the writer as well?
What's that?
Were you a writer as well?
No, I wasn't the writer, no. I only took up writing. Frank did not write, did not get published until he was 66. I was in the acting trade. I was in the talking trade with radio, like yourself. Had a brief television show. I did lots of soap operas, Oz and series and movies, and ran for governor of New York and did all. So I did all everything I ever wanted to do. And I'm in search of a dream now. All my dreams came true. So when Frank wrote Angela's Ashes, his first book, and he got the Pulitzer Prize for it, then somebody came to me and said, you must have a book and you too. So what I said, what do I do now? Have a literary bowel movement or something? No, he said, write a book. So I did. So I wrote a book and this, and I thought, it's great fun. So this is my 10th book now.
Oh, 10 of them.
Yeah, it's great fun.
Yes. You also mentioned that you ran for governor of New York on the Green Party ticket. You got 40,000 people to vote for you. Who did you run against?
I ran against a guy named Spitzer.
Elliot Spitzer?
Governor Spitzer.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in trouble because he apparently had some sexual relations with various ladies of the evening. Excuse me. And so he had to resign. And Governor, Lieutenant Governor Patterson, and I think he was the first African-American to be...
Service Governor of New York, yes.
To be governor, and he was a friend of mine, too. He's a friend of mine, he's the grand. He's a lovely man. And he has a grand sense of humor, and I'm very fond of him. But anyway, I lost that election, and I couldn't figure out why for a while, and then I figured it out. Do you know this, that if somebody gets more votes than you, generally speaking, they get elected? Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yes, it is. It is.
Except in the last election, that did not happen.
Well, the Electoral College changed that.
Yes. Well, we don't have an elected president. We have a selected president.
Yes, yes.
Which is different from elected, which was the other candidate that time. So that was a very strange sort of... And isn't it funny how this damn conversation, anywhere I go these days, never ends except with that what I call the groper in chief.
My guest
is groping his way through the presidency.
My guest is Malachi McCourt. We're talking about his book, Be Fatal. And as we continue our conversation, you're Irish. You were brought up Catholic. Would you discuss your upbringing as a Catholic in Ireland?
Well, it was, I think, an exercise in ecclesiastical terrorism. They were always talking about what was going to happen if we didn't obey the orders of some mystical chief in the sky. And so we were terrorized by that, and it and the church dominated every aspect of our lives from morning to tonight, from our schools, anywhere we went, churches and bells. You know, the church it's a very clever institute. They're very clever. They build huge edifices, which I think would have annoyed Jesus Christ, because he was a simple man and he lived simply. And that's the landscape was always filled with spires and towers. And so they dominated that. And then they dominated the soundscape as well with bells, because everywhere we went in Limerick, there were bells. There were 9 churches, and they were all tolling out the Angelus, starting at 6 a.m., noon, 6 p.m., and midnight. They tolled out the bells. and they all told for us. So they can't, and then you went into the church, and the church is dominated by the, again, by the landscape, the seeing of huge things, pictures, statues, and reminders. And then you had organs, which dominate the soundscape again. So they had us coming and going. And we thought that they were omniscient, omnipotent, omnipotent, and that they had the total power. And then they gave ordinary men the power over us. And no matter whether you were a man, woman, or child, here are these celibate people who don't get married. What would they know about love if they can't hold another human being lovingly? So there was all of that. So that was Catholicism, which is, to me anyway, I think it's perfectly all right. If people want to believe in it, it is not my business, but mine is that I need to believe what I believe in. And I believe that if you're going to do good, do it just for being good, not because some God is going to reward you or punish you by sending you to hell where there's eternal punishment.
As we wind down, you're 85. Your other brothers didn't quite make it. Would you talk to us about the kind of fun you have at wakes and your brothers?
Yes. Well, there were seven of us. And my sister died in Brooklyn in infancy. And that, my mother had a breakdown. And my father had a, went to the drink. So people got together and sent us, but got us enough money to sail over to Ireland. So they were, myself, Frank, the twins, and my mother and father went to Ireland. And we grew up there. And then my brothers, younger brothers died. The twins died a short time after, a couple of years later. They were four and four and a half. Two more were born, Michael and Alfie. So four of us did grow up. So we, and 10 of my classmates died. And because tuberculosis and disease and poverty rampant at that time. So whenever anybody died, of course, we had a wake. And in Ireland, we mourn marriages and we celebrate death. And so did you hear a couple of fellas in a pub, Gloria, talking about, oh, Jesus, did you hear about Timmy? What? He's gone. What, really? Oh, yeah, finished, no longer with us. Oh, yeah. What happened? Oh, he got married on Saturday. And that's the end of him. You disappear from sight. Well, then somebody dies, and you're, Jesus, you just, the people get in the food, the drink, and somebody happens to come by with an accordion and a banjo, and the songs and the dancing and the games. And the stories go on all night long. And part of it, of course, is to make sure that the person, you make a lot of noise so that you will wake the dead, if they are indeed dead, you see.
Yes.
And if they are dead, then they won't get up. Now, at my mother's wake, which was here in New York, we sang all the songs she hated first, the brothers and myself, because she would get up and smite us. if she were anywhere, but she was dead. So anyway, so we sang all the songs she liked after that. So it's good. So it's great fun. And wakes are great fun, Gloria, when it's not your own, you know.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
But it takes like elections. You know, there's two things necessary for a good wake. One is to have a corpse. And in an election, you have to have a candidate. So they're similar that way. Sometimes they're both alike.
Can you finally, as we conclude, give me a short sentence as to what you would like your epitaph to say?
He made us laugh.
That's good. That's very good. Malachy McCourt, The Pleasure Was All Mine.
Thank you, Gloria.
His latest book is, what is it again?
Death need not be fatal.
I thank you. Take care.
Ashed is the publisher.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.